And now Beryl is going to read our scripture.
Our reading is taken from Matthew 25, starting at verse 14. That's Matthew 25, starting at 14. Jesus continues with the second parable. Again, it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, and to another 2 bags, and another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold, he gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted with me 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw away that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Thank you very much, Beryl. I love the idea of gnashing of teeth. Has anybody gnashed teeth when they're in a bit of an angry mood? Doesn't make much noise, does it? Much louder ways to do it, but there we are. Anyway, that was the reading for today. And the subject, as you see it here, is bags of gold and stewardship. But why bags? Why gold? Whatever. Well, if we go to the... What have I done with the slide things? Oh, yes, I've left it. There we are. Now, bags of gold, in one other translation that's very popular, it says bags of silver. What was it that these staff of the boss were given to go away and use to earn more money and bring the profits back to the owner? Well, they weren't bags of gold necessarily, but if you read the King James Version, and in the olden days, as we used to use it as the normal version to use, you have the word talents there, and that's a rather funny word, isn't it? As you see there, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Why are we talking about talents? Why are we talking about 34 kilos? Well, in those days, because it's a literal translation of the Greek word talents that we see in this particular passage, but in those days, the Greek word talent meant a weight of metal, a lump of metal, and it was a standard lump of metal which was 34 kilos. I don't know how many pounds that was, but it was expressed in Greek weights as a talent. So it was a case of 34 kilos. It didn't say what it was. It didn't say that it had to be gold or silver or anything particularly valuable. It just means it was some weight of something. And to the idea that his staff were given certain bags of talents each, I mean, they were each given some valuable somethings or other, probably some kind of metal, might have been gold, but not 34 kilos of gold, and they had to go and earn more and bring it back. And that's where we get the verse from in the version we're using today, the NIV UK. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, 5 fairly heavy bags in that case, or 5 talent, 5 bags with 34 kilos of something in each one. To another 2 bags, and to another 1, each according to his ability. Well, if you were the 3 main managers or staff, and you were the one who saw the other 2 being handed, you'd say, well, are they that much better than I am? Or for the one who had 5, he would say, I'm the top, gosh. But of course, the whole object here is that more has to be given back to the master. And of course, as we come on to see, it means that what God gives to us, we can describe it as talents if we like, although that's a completely different translation or meaning. But it's whatever God gives us, we've got to give that back to him with something else. And in my working days, I worked mainly most of the time for 2 companies who had to make a profit. And one of the reasons why I was working with them was that I had to make sure that what I was doing was making enough money to be able to give back to the company or the boss that I worked for as a profit, as well as the cost that I had in my salary and my overheads and my staff. I had to pay for that, but I had to give back profit as well. And that was most of my working life, I had to do that. And this is exactly what's happening now. So that's the context of it, in a way. But there's 2 other contexts. There's 1 context here. Oops, let's try again. There we are. That you can say is Jesus' context. In verse 19, it says here, after a long time, the master of those servants returned. And that, because it's a parable, is reflecting on us today. So after a long time, the master who gave his people their gifts, in other words, Jesus, will return. But it is a long time, isn't it? It's now 2,000 years or so later than when Jesus spoke these words, and we're still waiting expectantly. Of course, we never know when he will come, whether it's sooner or another 2,000 years. But that was the context of what Jesus was saying at the time. he was saying it because it'll be quite a long time that we have to work for Jesus and take the abilities that he's given us and do something with them that gives back to Jesus not only what he made us with, but a bit more, something for him. But after Jesus' context, let's come back to our context. Now, I was mentioning that when I was at work, I was having to earn a profit because otherwise I would be made redundant. That's happened to quite a lot of people over time. If we're at work, we need to bring in more income than we cost. So it could be a commercial company like I was suggesting, but not necessarily, because we may be working for a charity, and some people work for a charity and get paid for it. Some charities try to make a profit so they can expand, but still we should be bringing in more than we take out. It could be voluntary work, where it's not to do with money, but we're doing voluntary work because we're putting our time and our efforts into it, and there is a result. And whatever the result is, not necessarily in money, we give it back to Jesus. It could be our church, that we are working for something in our church, but it needs to have an outcome, have a result. It needs to be putting something back to Jesus. Certainly not necessarily money, but it could be anything. It could even be family. If we have a family that we care for, part of our job as family members is to be able to do things that will go back to that family and through that go back to Jesus. So it's not necessarily in cash. And as you see here, I've given several illustrations of the way that Jesus was, I think, talking when he was thinking about giving us not 35 kilos of talents, but giving us various things that we do, and what we do we should be doing in a way that we can give back to Jesus something extra. So what about what we're doing? If we look at verse 15, we're saying that what we should do and what we should be is this rather wide range of abilities. As you see there, as we've been looking at that, God gives us gifts, he gives us personality values, he gives us actions, he gives us work, service, relationship. But that's not all. What I've just talked about there are things that other people know about, things that are obvious if we work in church. There are things that are obvious to other people in the church and so on. But that's not the whole of what is meant here in this passage, because we shouldn't be forgetting the very important, although personal, gifts that Jesus gives us that we need to work on and give extra back to him. And I've just thought of a couple here. There are more than that, but just have a think for a moment, if you like, at things which other people don't know about, but God has given us as a gift. It could be the gift of listening. Do you think listening is a good gift? You try talking to people who don't like listening, and you think, yes, well, it is actually quite a good gift. It's a very important gift to be able to listen. Even when you don't understand, even when you can't respond, just to actually soak in and listen to other people is very valuable. And of course, praying. And very often, nobody else knows when we're praying or what we're praying about or whether or not our prayers have been answered. Sometimes we don't even know if our prayers have been answered. But there's a very wide range of abilities in these what are called bags of gold that we need to absorb from Jesus and then give back to him. So let's move on from there to the next couple of verses, verses 16 and 17. It's not a case of how much we have, how many gifts we have, whether we are very gifted and we can do things in Christian voluntary work that are so much better than anybody else can do, or whatever it might be. Or whether if we worked in a commercial company, we are actually a senior manager and we go at anybody who's less than that. No. It says in verses 16 and 17, the man who'd received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more, which was actually pretty good. 100% return on the investment. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. So it's not a case of whether it's 5 bags of gold or 2 bags of gold. It's not how much we have, but the whole point is how we use it and ensuring it all goes back to Jesus. Verses 24 to 27, it's the longest bit of this passage, is saying about the one who's only got 1 talent and he just couldn't be bothered with doing anything about it. He was wicked and lazy, it says in verses 24 to 27. I mean, just listen to how he says about this. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you've sown and gathering where you've not gathered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. So here is what belongs to you. You can have it back. Not good enough, his master replies. You wicked, lazy servant. That's very critical, isn't it? Even of Jesus speaking a parable, it's quite a critical couple of words to use as an expression. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. He's talking commercial language now, of course, because it's a proverb. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have got it back with interest. So, yes, this man, the obvious thing was that if I'm too scared to do anything with it, don't just shove it around under the bed or wherever. People used to put money under the bed, didn't they? Or in the bedside drawer. But put it in the bank and you'll get at least 1.5% of interest. It's not very much these days, is it? And you think, well, at least it's better than nothing. So that's how you can interpret this. And even if we feel hard put by, because as far as we can see, God has only given us 1 bag of gold, 1 particular talent, 1 thing that we're very good at. Almost certainly God would have given us more than that and we don't realize it. But if we think that's all, then give back what we can to him in his way. Don't just not be bothered about it and think, well, I'll do what I want to do because that's all that matters. But what about the outcome now? What about the outcome of that? This is in verse 29. We had the Bible reading from the New International Version, but I looked it up in the New Living Translation, and I love the way it puts it there. So as we're just finishing looking at this, I thought, well, if you want to take a verse away, it's verse 29 from the New Living Translation to look up when you get home. And you can look on translation up online easily. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Just look at that for a few seconds. That's quite well put, isn't it? But just to close by saying, what can we do? Well, this is what I would suggest, although you can think of lots more things during the week, hopefully, that we might be able to do. What I suggest is think of everything that we are and we do as a gift from God. Everything we are, everything we do. Whether it seems a lot or a little, that's not the issue. Because Jesus gave different amounts to different people. A gift to use for him, and let him use it as he wants to. And don't forget the last bit I put here, especially if it's something we didn't look at that way before. If it's something that we do or that we are that we haven't realized is anything special, it is special because God would have given us it, and it's worth something, and we can return something. So there we are. We're back to my favourite cartoon of this verse. That's quite a good one, isn't it?